Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 11 and verse 33. Can't or won't? That is the question. Can't or won't? You remember Christ has put this question to the leaders of the Jews, the chief priests, the teachers of the law and the elders. They were trying to trap Christ, of course. And he put this question to them about John the Baptist. Was John the Baptist, in his ministry, was he sent by God, or was he just of human origin and authority, if whatever that authority is? And we've seen the way that they reasoned. They feared the people. They knew that the people thought John was a prophet. They couldn't say he was, because they knew Christ would nail them. But they couldn't say he wasn't, you know, because the crowd would nail them. So they didn't know what to do. They knew what to do, what they should do, but they weren't going to be caught. So they answered Jesus, "Oh, we don't know. We cannot say. We cannot tell. We don't know." Jesus answered, and his answer is most significant, most powerful. Neither, get that word, neither. Neither will I tell you. Neither will. You say you can't. You say you don't know. You say you're ignorant. I know you're not. You know. The truth is, you don't want to say. Can't or won't. Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Do you see the point? Christ has asked this question back because he knows they're trying to trap him, and he's asked this question back to expose their hearts. And it's their hearts that are wrong. They don't want Christ to be the Son of God. They don't want Christ to have this authority. They don't want to hear him. They're not willing. It's their will, their heart. It's not their question of, we're not sure, we can't decide, you know, it's a matter of opinion. No, that's nothing to do with it. John 5:40, you will not come to me. Matthew 23:37, you won't come to me. How often I would have gathered you, but you were not willing. Yes, John 6:65, you cannot come. No, sinners are dead, blind, unregenerate. Yes, that's true. But it's the won't that makes the can't. It's the will that's wrong. It's the heart that's wrong. It's not simply a question of facts and information. And of course, it's all about Christ. It's not about John the Baptist at all. It's what you think of Christ. That's what Christ is saying to these Jews. Indeed, in the next chapter and so on, in other places, he will say this to them directly. What think ye of Christ? Now, that's the point in my discourse here. I'm not really desperately interested in the Jews 2,000 years ago now. That's there. But it's the application to my hearers today and to me. What do you think of Christ? The Jews failed here. They fudged. They're like politicians. They are politicians. They'll find a formula, but Christ won't have it. No. It's not a question of can't. It's a question of won't. You won't come. It's Joshua 24. Make your mind up, says Joshua to the Jews. Choose which God is God. Choose. It's Elijah in 1 Kings 18. Choose. Don't sit on the fence. Don't fudge. Don't hang about with opinions. It's John 6. Peter says, you have the words of eternal life. You are the Christ, they said in another place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, Peter preaching, and John. There is salvation in no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now that's the biblical position. But the question is, my friend, what about you? What do you think of Christ? What is your answer? Who is he? What is he to you? I know I've read this and given you this hymn, this poem, this hymn by John Newton, many times, but it's still pertinent to this place. It's still relevant to it. What think ye of Christ is the test to try both your state and your scheme. That's how he starts. Christ, what you think of him? You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. If you've got the wrong view of Christ, if you won't make your mind up, if you won't come down one way or the other, and you come down in the wrong place, all is wrong. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. This is the point. It's not an academic game. It's not a chess game. It's just a matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternity. Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most. Sure, these have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I. I dare not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I was sure I was God. So, Mr. Wesley, Newton, what's your view? What's your opinion here? What's your conviction? I'll tell you my conviction, he says. If asked, what of Jesus, I think, though still my best thoughts are but poor, I say he's my meat and my drink, my life and my strength and my store, my shepherd, my husband, my friend, my saviour, but from sin and from thrall, my hope from beginning to end, my portion, my Lord, and my all. That's my conviction. It was Newton's conviction. What is your conviction, my friend? Is Christ your meat, your drink, your life, your strength, your store, your shepherd, your husband, your friend, your saviour, your hope, your portion, your Lord, your all? Or is he nothing to you? To you who pass by, all you who pass by, to Jesus draw nigh, to you is it nothing that Jesus should die? What think ye of Christ is the test. Ah, we can't tell. Yes, you can. You won't tell. But Jesus demands it. Neither will I tell you, he says. Now, what is your opinion, my friend? What is your opinion of Christ? What is your conviction? Oh, I appeal to you, I beg you. Do not rest until you can say you trust the Saviour, with all and for all.